do as the will of each man. Chazal say that this is referring to the will of two men, Haman and Mordechai. Haman had his plans, and Mordechai was there to ensure, even though he told the Jews, don't go. But once they went, he had his responsibility as a leader to make sure that they should eat kosher and that they shouldn't sin. And he went there to try and prevent the people from doing so as much as possible. Now, a very fascinating point that Rav Matisyahu Solomon brings out. One of the reasons why this is discussed at length, the splendor of the feast, the Rav Shlomo Alkavit says, is to say that he assaulted them with five senses. It was in the garden, which smelled beautiful. They were dazzled by the sights of the colorful garments. The beds that they slept on were very luxurious, and they felt with their sense of feeling, they felt very comfortable, and they had delicious food and drink, which was the sense of taste. And he asks, Rav Shlomo Alkavitz in his Sefer on the Megillah asks, why didn't he play music? Where was the music? I mean, he had everything, he thought of everything, but the party planner forgot the music. So the question is, where was the music? So he says a fascinating thing. He says he was trying to get the Jews to sin, and he knew playing music that will awaken their senses will awaken within the Jews a feeling of tshuva, because a person's neshama can be, a person's inner emotions can be aroused through music, but his reaction will be directed by his general emotional state. So for the people, the other non-Jews at the party, it would have made them perhaps even more wild. But for the Jews at the party, it would have brought them to their senses and caused them to leave. So he purposely left the music out of the ambiance. Pasuk Tes. Now, this is the next extremely unusual point in the Megillah. Gam Vashti Hamalka Asasa Mishtei Noshem. Vashti also made a feast for the women, where Beis Hamalchas, in the room of the king, Asher LaMelech HaChashverish, which was Achashverish's chambers. So she actually made a feast in his chambers, which was a bit of a chutzpah, making the feast in his private chambers. But somewhere in their private area, I'm sure they had more than just a bedroom, but it was obviously a place that was worthy of making a feast in. But her right to be there is questionable. But besides for that, the reason why the Megillah says she also made a feast is to show that the things that she did were as unusual as we'll see. The things that Achashverosh did. Why would she want to make a feast? What's the point? Does she need to win over the women? She's the queen in those days did not have any political power. There was nobody that she had to influence. And there's no reason why she had to make a separate feast for the women. She was just doing it to keep up with Achashverosh. She didn't want to be left behind. And in fact, the Megillah is showing us that Lifnei Shever Goyim, or as they say in English, pride comes before the fall, meaning she was trying to up her status and she was about to lose her status. The whole idea that she made the feast there was unusual. She made it right next to the place where the men were feasting, which caused her downfall, as we will see. Pasuk Yud. Bayoim Hashavi, on the seventh day of the feast, Ketoiv Lev Hamelech Bayoim, when the king's heart was well into his, he was well deep into his cup. We'll say Omar. He instructed Lumuhuman Bizsof Arvoina Bigsov Avaksa Seisav Acharkas, were the names of his seven officers, Shivas Asurisim, the seven officers Hamisharsim Espanei Hamelech Achashverosh, who serviced the king, and he instructed them Lahavi es Vashti Hamalka, to bring the queen Vashti. Now he tried to insult her. He said, "You're really just Vashti, but Hamalka, you're my wife. That's why you're important." Lifnei Hamelech becheser Malchus, he wanted her to wear her crown. Laharis, to show Ha'amim Vasarim, the nations and the officers, Asiyafia, her beauty, Kitevis Marhi, because she was very beautiful. Chazal say that the non-Jews at the party had gotten to drinking, and they started arguing about whose wives were more beautiful, and that's why he instructed her to come. Now, she didn't take the insult too kindly, besides for the famous medrash that she developed some, things that caused her not to want to come to the feast. She had her pimples and the tail that grew out of her forehead. But see that the Megillah changes the order. She said, don't Vashti Hamalka me, I am Hamalka Vashti. I am the royal blood over here, and you are just a stable boy, and that's my position. And Chazal say what she told him exactly was, she said, you're just a stable boy, I'm of noble blood, my father knows how to drink more than you know how to drink. And Asher Biyad Asarisim. So now they came back and said these words to Achashverosh. Vayiksoif Hamelech Moed. And the king got very angry. However, everyone said, what are you so angry about? But he couldn't say because he couldn't insult himself. And therefore, Vachamosa, his anger, Baravoy, burned inside of him because he couldn't even share it with the people around him. And so Achashverosh considered this to be a state of emergency, Vayomer Hamelech, and therefore he had to consult. Now, in the times of old, there were two approaches to the law. There was the legislative law, and then there were sometimes when the king had to do something which was not in line with the law, but it was considered a royal act. So for this, he had a special group of people that he consulted with. Either they were non-Jews. Chazal say that he consulted besides for the people mentioned in the next pasuk, he also consulted with some of the Jews who had been on the Sanhedrin, some of the Talmidei Chacham that had been on the Sanhedrin, because he knew them to be very wise. Vayomer HaMelech, the king said, Lachacham, to the wise people, Yodei Ha'itim, who know what to do during times of distress. Meaning, Yodei Ha'itim, they not only know the general law, but they know how to react when there's a cause to override the law. Kichein Dvar HaMelech, because this was the custom of the king, Lifnei Kol Yodei Vdos V'din, to discuss his matters such as these with people who knew the dust, they knew the laws of the country, the din, and they knew how when it was appropriate to go against the laws of the country. Now, the law in Persia was that the king could not decide on personal matters, and that's why he had to consult with the officers. And that's actually a very wise law, because if the king could consult on personal matters, a lot of people in a fit of anger would have lost their heads. So, therefore, he had this cabinet that he would meet with. V'hakaroi v'lov, the people who were close to him, were Karshana, Shesar, Admasa, Sarshish, Maris, Marsna, Memuchan. Memuchan, in the more famous medrash, is Haman, so we'll leave it at that. Shivas, Sarei, Paras, and Madai, these were the seven noble men of Paras and Madai, the officers of Paras and Madai, Persian Medes, Roye Pnei HaMelech, who would meet with the king, Hayoshim and Rishonim B'Malchus, that were the first ones, that they were at the head, they were the Yeshiv Reish, they were the people that decided the matters of the kingdom. So he told them what happened, and he asked them what to do. Kedos Malasis, what shall be done? What should be the law? What to do? But Malka Vashti with Queen Vashti. Al Asher Loy Osasa Es Mamar HaMelech Achashverosh, because she did not do what Achashverosh said, meaning she did not appear before him. Biyad Asarisim, when she was supposed to be brought at the hands of the officers. Now, it only says that she didn't do what the king instructed by not coming. Now, he was too embarrassed to tell them what else she said, but somehow there was a leak and they had heard about it. Obviously, you can imagine that those officers that had conveyed the message from Vashti to Achashverosh somehow managed to get the word out. Pasuk Tazayin, Vayoymer Memuchan. So now this is the culmination of the first chapter, and it is one of the absolutely most bizarre parts of the Megillah. And it really sets the stage for Haman's end. And assuming this was Haman, then Haman, right here at the beginning of the Megillah, was doing himself in, as we will see. Vayomer Memuchan. Memuchan, who is Haman, said, Lifnei HaMelech V'Asarn. So first of all, he was the youngest guy, he was the most insignificant person in the room, and he jumped up and he spoke first. Not only on the king did Vashti do which was incorrect, which was improper, Ki al kol hasar v'al kol ha'amim. She has wronged against all the officers and all the nations. Asher b'chol medinat samal chachashresh. All the country. So let's think about this. Step back. You know, we're used to hearing this story, so it starts to make sense. But if we could think about this from an objective perspective for a minute. The queen was supposed to appear before the king. Yes, it was a bizarre request, and it made sense that she said no. Okay, the king was mad. That's also understandable. Kings are like that. So comes Haman, and he says, "Gentlemen, this is a national crisis. You know why? Because ki yetzei dvar malka al kol hanoshim, Esther's word is going to go viral. All the women are going to hear about it. Lahavzais balein beinei, and they're going to stop respecting their husbands." But Amram, when they'll say, HaMelech HaChashverosh Amar Lahavias Vashti HaMalka Lefan of Leva, that King HaChashverosh told Vashti to come and she didn't come. Now, first of all, I didn't mention the Medrash before, but it's well known that he asked her to come only wearing the crown and nothing else. So what do you think everyone else is going to think? You think they're going to think, great, let's all disrespect our husbands now? Or they're going to think, HaChashverosh is a nut. So obviously they're going to think HaChashverosh is crazy. But Memuchan said, absolutely not. That's not what they'll think. They'll think that Achashverosh is in the right, and they'll think Vashti is in the right, and Achashverosh is in the wrong, and they'll completely disregard and disrespect their husbands. And for some reason, he considers it to be a national crisis. Now, Chazal tells us, Haman had a bone to pick. He had a wife who was much more illustrious than he, and it was something that he never made peace with, and he was trying to manipulate her and get her to subjugate herself to him. And that was really what was going on in the back of his mind. Now, everyone else in the room should have said, objection overruled. First of all, you're the youngest guy here, so sit down. Second of all, you're making a big deal out of nothing. But that's not what happened. In Pasuk Yuches, he continues, and he says, V'hayem ezeh, taymarna sores paris umadai, all the noble ladies of paris umadai will say, after hearing Asher Shamu Estvar Amalka L'chol Sarei HaMelech, after they hear what the queen told the king, Uchdai Bizayim V'Kotzef, there will be a tremendous embarrassment to the king, and it will cause a great amount of upheaval. So therefore, Im Al HaMelech Toif. So now, but there's a problem over here. So, but what should the king do about it? He has to consult with everybody. So Haman says, okay, problem, but I have a simple solution. Let's just change the whole way that the government works over here. The king is not supposed to decide on personal matters. Let's change that. Im al ha'melech tov, if it's good with you, yetzei dvar malchus, let something personal about the king be decided milafanav. Let him decide on his own personal matters from now on. Not only that, not only this time, let's not make a one-time exception. V'yikasev, let it be written, b'dosei farasu madai, in the laws of the kingdom, v'lo yavar, and let it never change. Let's change the law forever. Let's let the king decide on personal matters. And now that we've changed the law, simple. Asher leisavei Vashti lefnei HaMelech HaChashverosh. King HaChashverosh should instruct that Vashti no longer appear before him, which means that she would get killed. Umalchusa yitein HaMelech, and the king should give over her position, l'ru'usa ha'tayvim mimena, to someone else who is better than her. So, and that also, he had an agenda because he wanted Achashverosh to marry his daughter. So, this is very, very strange. Now, what should everyone's reaction be? If it's not ludicrous enough that Haman spoke first, and he declared it a national crisis, he wanted to change all the laws of the kingdom for this one act and leave it that way. V'nishma, and it will be heard, piskam hamelch, the matter of the king asher yasa, that he will do b'chol malchusayin, his entire kingdom. Ki rabahi, this is very important. V'chol hanoshim yidnu yikar levalein. And now, once he gets rid of Vashti, you know what will happen? Everyone will start honoring their husbands. L'migodol v'ad katan. Whether their husbands are important or whether they're not important, they will get honor from their wives. Okay. Also, that's not so thought out. Just because Achashverosh was able to take off Vashti's head, nobody else can take off their wife's head. So how would that help? So the biggest nisim in the Megillah is the next pasuk. Vayitav hadavar be'eni ha'melech v'sarim. Everyone said, great idea. Vayas ha'melech kedvar memuchan, and they did as he said. And they sent out a law to all the countries. Vayishlach Svarim, they sent out a letter, El Kol Medina Yisamel, to all the countries of the king. El Medina U Medina Kichsava, to every province in its language. Vel Amba Am Kulashani, and to every nationality in its language. Liyaz Kol Ish Sayur Bevesai. And again, if you read these words objectively, they're astounding. That every man should rule his house. Umedaber Kilshain Amoy, and you should speak his language. So now this proclamation went up everywhere. The king instructs everyone to let their husband rule in his house and speak their husband's language. Now, we're not talking about the 21st century. The situation was like that already before. Okay, maybe not in Haman's house. He had an issue. But in everywhere else, the men were the most dominant figure in the house. And it was like this before. So what's going on over here? It seems so strange. They changed the whole way the king functions in personal matters. They took this matter seriously. They accepted Haman's arguments, and they changed everything. Why? The answer is because at the end of the Megillah, Esther tells Ahasuerus that Haman's trying to kill me. Okay, that's a personal matter relating to the king. Now, had the law remained in effect as it had been originally, so then Ahasuerus would say, well, let's call a meeting. I can't decide such things myself. And the Goyim would have hemmed and hawed, and then there would have been a vote, and they would make sure it's not too obvious, but somehow by a slim majority, the with the wrong person in Congress, somehow, well, sorry, we overruled that request to kill Haman, and instead we'll kill the Jews. But because the king was able to rule on his own personal matters, so he said, take him out and hang him. And that's what they did. So Haman, in the first chapter of the Megillah, cooked his own goose. And even though it was completely illogical that that should take place, Hashem arranged it that it should be so, because he had in mind what was going to happen at the end of the Megillah, which the Megillah takes place over a period of 13 years, over a period of 11 years. So this was setting the tone for something that would happen much later, years down the road. So you can only imagine, the world was not that much different than it was now. Okay, they didn't have newspapers, but you can imagine what we would call the editorials, what was going on by word of mouth, the back and forth, the debates, the people who were interested, the lawyers or the equivalent, the people who are interested in legislature, how can they change the kingdom like this without a vote, without it going through Congress, without anything, and for such a ridiculous reason, the people that said Haman's right and the people that said Haman's wrong, and it went back and forth, and everyone looked at it like, okay, interesting news, something silly happened, fine, let's move on with life. But Hashem was setting the stage for the end of the story when this was a very important piece.